everyone. My name is Lelo. Welcome to the Office Podcast. I am with my co-hosts,
Gaya
and Lighten.
And we are ready. We are back.
We are going
to give you another hot episode. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the previous one. We actually got a lot of responses.
We got great feedback.
I don't know if it's because you guys are getting in trouble.
A lot of people, it's so funny.
One of my friends, Lee, who she never commented about the podcast, the other day said to me, you know, like, I savor your podcast. I actually, like, listen to half, and then I, like, listen to half so that, because sometimes it's, like, longer than her traffic. Yay. So, and I was like, oh, thank you. It was so unexpected. It was like, thanks. I got voice notes from the UK.
So we've got the UK even listening to our podcast.
Exactly.
So imagine if you're South African and you're not listening, we would be helping you. So, guys, thank you so much. Much actually.
I wanted to go to the hashtag so I can actually shout
out
the people that have been listening. I know we usually leave it for the end, but these people are actually very important.
That is true, actually.
So Makhatebe at Jan's Fufuse says, I really enjoy the Office podcast. So refreshing. Thank you so much. And then we also have Andiswa Linda. She says, I found another fave podcast. Thank you, Miss Lelo and Giyahi. I learned quite a bit on this one. And she's also talking about the poor performance.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We also have Saydim. Is it Saydim? I was baby.
I think it's Saydim.
Saydim.
Okay, Masaydi.
Oh, Masaydi. Ooh. Okay, well, she listens every week.
No, she does.
Thank you, Sadie.
Hi, Sadie.
Laughing at us at how we were gushing at over Megan's baby.
Oh yeah,
Achi.
Yes. And then we had Luco_GG, who was also asking whether he can listen if she uses a Huawei.
So yes, you can listen.
Even if Google does not give you apps, whatever.
You can still listen.
Okay, so thank you so much, guys. We really appreciate.
And the boardroom bully.
Who's the bedroom?
So we've got someone by the name of Leto. Letos is the boardroom bully. He calls himself the boardroom bully. I don't know why you'd call yourself that.
But he
listens as well. And then we've also got Miss K.
But also, it's okay to be honest if you are bullying people at work.
Right, exactly.
And then we've got Miss K since day one.
Why don't I see those tweets?
Yes, and we also have Ipilang 101.
And I see you guys on these tweets. Yeah. I see you guys.
Yes, yeah. Okay.
I do, on all of them. You did talk about Luca, right?
Yeah, so
Puseletso as well.
Nice.
Did we miss out on Ipilang?
Yeah, Ipilang 101, yeah. She was laughing at the the president of Burundi.
I know. Speaking of Burundi, guys, it's time for Know Your Continent. KYC. Oh, the co-hosts are so embarrassing. They're going to get it wrong.
No, we got it right the last time.
So I'm going to try.
Okay. So, this country obviously is in Africa.
Uh-huh.
Unemployment is like 7.8%.
That's very low.
It's very, very low compared to us. We're like 27.5.
Yeah,
it's gone up even now.
Yeah.
So, you're going to notice something about my questions this week.
Okay.
I'm doing this program, right, at Gibbs.
Yes.
And I was doing...
Yeah.
You're also doing something at Gibbs.
Yes.
So part of, the current module is economics.
Is this plain?
I know, it was very hectic. But they actually, I wrote an exam, was it last week or the week before? Mm-hmm. And it went well. So that's good. So we write an exam and then we do an assignment. Mm-hmm. So now we're currently busy with an assignment that we have to submit on my birthday. The 29th hashtag in
this
case you
you're still around.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So... you're going to notice that my questions are very much about the economy and all of that. So, guys, so this country, it's ranked 118th in the Global Competitiveness Report. Okay. So it's 118 out of 140. Okay?
Okay.
It's Africa's second largest copper producer.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yes?
Yeah, do you know? Yes, I think if copper would be... tell me if I'm going wrong. I'm just going to get... it'll be Southern Africa. It's in Southern Africa.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, you're so boring. I haven't even...
it is Zambia.
You are so boring.
Zambia is good with copper. Oh, it's like they've got a copper belt in Zambia. Oh,
can you just pretend you don't know until I ask my
question? Sorry.
She
got it wrong. You can ask the rest. But give us the rest of the clues. Well done, Lighten. Okay, give us the rest of the clues. Just for interesting.
I was going to say that 58% of the 16.6 million people in that country earn less than the international poverty line of like $1.90 per day.
Oh, wow. That is...
It's bad.
That is bad. Mm. It's quite interesting because they earn less than in the poverty line, but there's like... A higher employment rate. It's quite so. A lot of people are unemployed, but not a lot of people are making a lot of money.
It's actually very weird. So I'm looking at this now. Like the expected GDP growth for 2019 is 3.2%, which is way higher than South Africa. South Africa, 2018, it was 0.8%.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Damn.
Yeah.
That is quite.
Yeah. I have a view, but I'm not sure.
A view?
No, like an opinion, and maybe that's why. I mean,
tell me,
guys. I think South Africa, firstly, is highly. What in a
melting pot?
Yeah, unequal. That's what I was looking for. So it's actually unequal, and it's I don't know much about their economy and how they
work. It is actually one of the most
unequal.
I don't know
societies.
How to say it, but
it's
actually
it could be the reason why. Yeah. Oh yeah, I saw that cover. That was embarrassing.
Cover Inc. Oh yeah, the Time one. That was really crazy.
But anyway.
So just another thing, they're saying Zambia is considered a stable country in Africa with successful democratic elections held every 5 years. Nice one. We also had successful elections recently.
And dry pens,
So the next one will be held in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And the current president is Edgar Chagwalungu of the Patriotic Front Party.
Yes.
He was re-elected in 2016 in a very closely contested race with his main rival. So, yeah, so that's Zambia. I've never been to Zambia. Have you guys been to Zambia?
No. Yeah.
How is it? It's your neighbor.
Yes, it's my neighbor. Zambia was...
Don't say what? Lusaka.
Lusaka. It was quite... The last
Wait, is Lusaka
years?
The capital?
Yeah, the capital, yes.
Because we know I'm thinking controversy is Lusaka.
Oh, okay.
So, the last 10 years has been quite a growing point for Zambia. And I think, like, it's one of those countries that were doing really badly, like Malawi and Zimbabwe, and Zambia was one of those. And
you are so boring. I can't believe you got the copper right. Carry on.
You know, they literally have a thing, a region called the Copper Belt. In Zambia.
Oh.
Yeah. So when you said copper, I was like,
you
okay,
know so much about Africa. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah,
you please teach your friend there next to me.
I need to actually start
the
traveling.
The score is 3-0.
Probably more than that, actually.
Sorry, guys. I actually have been to Zambia.
You have. I was about to say. You've got a living stone.
You travel that much, hey?
Yeah. Girl, you know.
She even forgets, eh?
Yeah.
No, but you know why? Because we flew to Harare and then drove. From there to Livingstone.
Did you drive from Harare to Livingstone? Why?
We flew to Harare. Yeah, and we didn't. Did we fly? Yes, we only.
Did you drive?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Like supposedly drove from Cape Town.
Oh no! Sorry, we didn't drive.
Victoria Falls.
Yeah.
Did you fly to Victoria Falls?
To Victoria Falls, yes.
And then you cross the bridge.
Yes, we crossed the bridge.
That's like a short drive.
So I drove, no?
Yeah, you drove.
Oh,
yeah.
So my memory is so bad.
Wow. Unless you travel, because you can also walk that bridge.
Yeah, okay, guys. We have to focus now. So back to office politics. What are we talking about today?
So we guys are talking about travel and visiting different African countries. But the reality is not everyone can travel. Some people can't afford to travel because they've got so much on their plate and at work or in their workspace. So today we're trying to talk about work-life balance. And my question is, does work-life balance actually exist?
Mm-hmm.
And for those people who say yes, how are you actually doing it? How are you making sure that your work and your life, your personal life balance out? I mean, some industries don't necessarily allow for that because you're in client services especially, and your clients dictate, you know, your time a lot more than other people.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't necessarily have set times. I'm in client services. I don't necessarily have set times that I go into work necessarily or set times for leaving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just need to leave when my job is done.
Exactly.
You know, I need to leave.
Yeah.
If it means that it's 8 o'clock, it's 8 o'clock. If it means I come in on a Saturday morning, I come in on a Saturday morning. But let's talk about, I don't know, do you guys actually practice the work-life balance?
Do you want to go first or should
I go first?
Okay. So, I work in advertising, and mm-hmm. advertising is notorious for zero work-life balance. And I feel like that's why a lot of people do cocaine. Sorry.
Now we know.
And I feel like a lot of people in advertising, like, do drugs to just, you know, because you're always on the go. And I think two years ago, I had, like, a bit of a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
And I just I realized that, you know, I cannot give... I actually fainted in an Uber leaving work at, like, 3 a.m.
Oh, my gosh.
And this Uber driver, luckily enough, he had picked me up, like, three times before, so he knew where I stayed. And I used to stay close to the Santon Clinic, so he just took me to the emergency room. But after that, I actually made a decision that if I get to work at 8:30 and I leave at, like, 5 or 5:30, and if something is not done, it can wait for tomorrow.
Thank you.
And I had to put parameters and boundaries. I mean, there are other days that you actually would need to, let's say you have a brick presentation tomorrow.
Then you stay on late.
You get it done. But I feel like you need to draw boundaries.
Yeah, you do.
It can't be all the time.
No. I hear you, Lelo.
I don't know if I even do it well.
You should be doing it well.
All I know is my life is not work, okay? Yeah. Like, yes. I know, like, when I'm at work and I do my best.
Yes.
But then I still have a life. And I just feel like I owe myself to enjoy my life. My life can't just be work, which is why I make time to do what I need to do. I make time to come, okay, I'm coming to record the podcast and that's it. So it's just what it is, because I can't now put work above my life. I just feel like my work must fit into my life and not the other way around. My life can't be fitting around
into work.
At the end of the day, the quality of my life has to matter, guys. You only live once.
True.
Yeah, but so I just feel like it I prioritize my life over work. I'm sorry.
And
I also think that when you are fulfilled in your life outside of work, you actually tend to perform better at work. Because you're not like, you're fully present when you're at work. But then, like, if you don't have a life, when you're at work, you're just thinking about all the other things that are not really work-related. So, yeah.
And they're talking now about work-life integration rather than work-life balance. Yes. Because all these things are important.
Yeah.
And
you don't always
have to, like, okay, how do you know whether it's balanced? It's all about how do you manage and juggle all these balls at the same time and make sure you get out of it what you want, you know.
Exactly.
That's true.
So yeah, I feel like as much as yes, work is important in the sense that we make money out of it so that we can pay our bills and all of that, but if something happens to you guys, like, they're gonna hire the next person and life can continue. But take care of yourself, which is you know, the discussion about wellness is also important. I think this is something that we also encourage at work. Like, people come to work and they are, like, all sick. I'm like, dude, no. Go look after yourself, because you can't even perform at your best because you are sick. Besides the fact that you're going to make us sick as well, you can't even perform optimally. Yeah. So,
true. Exactly. I don't know. It took me a while to get the work-life balance thing or to force time to do all the other stuff that I need to do.
Yeah.
I think for me it was a classic case of I'm trying to prove myself, or I'm working towards a goal, or I'm looking for a promotion. So it's always been like for the last year, since I started working like my full time job in varsity when I was completing my hours to complete my honors. And guys, I literally survived on 4 hours of sleep. So in my first year, I was surviving on 4 hours of sleep because I was doing my honors full time and working full time.
Yeah.
So I would survive on 4 hours of sleep a day, and then it's work from 6 a.m. until like 4, and then I leave the office, and then at that time I start using public transport, catch a taxi or whatever to varsity, and then it's 2.5, 2, 3 hours of class.
Sure.
And then travel back and then study until midnight. And then it was a repetitive thing, right? But I just thought at that point I didn't have a choice. And then obviously as you go along, you move to a new company, you're trying to improve yourself. And even then, I'd like, guys, I don't know, I've always been that person that was just always overdoing it. Like, but that's because I always wanted to prove myself. It was a new role, or it was this, a new this.
And it's understandable if you do it for a specific period but it can't be that's who you are.
So that is why I say this year, is, I think for me, is the year that I've learned to literally, or forced to do it. Because one of my mentors, who's actually a CEO of an organization, and I think that's another topic that I'd like to ask, to look at, and obviously in another episode, but the importance of mentorship in that regard. So she did say to me, she's like, you know what, girl, the reality is you can't do everything. You're not good at everything either. Neither am I. I'm a CEO, yes, but I've got people like yourself to do stuff for me. And that is when I learned, okay, I need to actually fit stuff in, because if I don't make the time, it will never happen. So it's just like dating. If you don't make the time for someone, that means you're not really interested in it.
Yeah.
So I forced myself. So time, and you know, and I was advised, you know what, pick a time in the morning that's solely yours, and you don't respond to calls, you don't answer work calls, nothing. And that is why I've chosen mornings for gym. Six to eight is my work, is my gym time. Anything after that, and then I continue on Mondays. 6 to 7, it's my podcast time, and I literally leave. And if this is work that needs to be done, I literally say, okay guys, you know what, I need to leave, I'm going to my podcast, because if I don't do that, I'll never come record.
There's always a reason why you can't go at the time.
Exactly my point.
And it never ends.
It never ends.
No.
There's never the right time for anything. If you don't make time, there won't be time.
Never the right time.
I'm a pimp, I'm nand. But anyways, like I think it's all about making time and prioritizing. And sometimes you might have a lot of things to do, but you need to, you know, like prioritize and make and pick out what's most important and urgent to get out, and what's the least urgent to get out, and then just work it out from there.
Exactly. So you see, sadly though, Europe is the best place actually that pushes for work-life balance. So Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, you know, their role is to do the research and to actually help countries and nations implement these sort of legislations, right? And yes. Some countries better than others. Yeah. Europe will always, almost everything.
Yeah, we can
lead,
even compare ourselves.
Exactly. But they say that, for example, France has passed a law that allows employees to disregard work email when they're not in the office.
But I guess you can, even here, you can disregard. You don't have to respond.
Yeah.
You don't have to, but you know, there's a law. It's an unwritten
for not.
You can't necessarily, but then how about in a case where you've been given tools like a laptop and a work phone? So the assumption for me is that if you giving me the tools, the assumption is that wherever I am, whenever I am,
during
you'll be able to respond
hours.
During office hours.
Yeah. You don't have to respond after hours. Yeah.
Legally, yes.
You don't have
but,
to.
But there's unwritten rules of unwritten rules where you probably get a side eye of some sort.
But you can't get into trouble for it.
No. True.
Yeah, but
it's not like
saying it's there, it happens, people do it. Like now I recently got my work emails on my phone, and because it's on my phone now, I end up going now every now and again to check, and then I respond at odd times, but I don't have to.
True. And then France has 25 federally mandated vacation days. What is South Africa's
15?
I don't know.
It's 15
But all
days.
I know is that South Africa has the most public holidays in the world.
Well, it makes up for the minimum of 15.
Exactly.
So 15 days in terms of the basic conditions of employment.
Yes. Yeah.
And then obviously companies add more.
Yeah.
But the minimum is 15. And then out of that 15, you have to take 10 days consecutive every year.
Yeah.
There you go. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you
do. You have to take 10 consecutive.
Yes, you have to.
That's a must. And then the European has also passed a working time directive and enforces a maximum 48-hour work week. Our work week, I think, is 40.
It's 40
hours a week, right? So just check. If you're not sure how many, what's your prescribed work week, it's 40 hours.
Is that Europe, you said it's 48 hours a minimum? Maximum,
no, so maximum. Enforces 48.
And that's across all industries.
It seems.
Okay. So if you say maximum, does it include overtime?
I would actually assume that it would.
So it's because hours would be like it's 40 in a week, and then not more than 10 hours overtime per week. But obviously, you can look at the overtime per month. Like not more than 40. Yeah. If it's more than 40, then it's like
And companies, speaking of overtime, the issue of overtime as well.
I feel like we're changing topics.
Yeah, I know.
No. Like, and the reason, let's leave that one for later.
Ask the question.
If I'm working overtime, right?
Yeah.
Is it a must that I need to get paid for that overtime?
It depends.
Or companies can, I know that companies, it differs from company to company.
Yes, it depends. So there are people So it depends on the overtime of the company's overtime policy, first of all. Yeah. So there are people who have to be paid overtime based on what they do, especially the low skill type workers that are mostly unionized, yeah, and all of that. So they have to be get paid overtime. Yeah. But then you have people in managerial where you can say, instead of paying you, I'm going to give you time off.
Yeah.
And then you can also put it in your policy that for people who are at this level of work, there is no overtime paid.
Yeah,
there you go.
So if you do work overtime, then you get given time off.
So yeah, guys, this is for the people who like to use overtime as an excuse to get work done that they could have just done in the 8 hours that was prescribed to them.
Yes, and overtime has to be pre-approved, by the way.
Exactly.
You can't just work 50 hours overtime and claim it when... Mm-hmm. What were you doing? Who authorized?
What were you doing in the 8 hours?
It has to be authorized.
Work-life balance, guys. Yeah.
But anyway, another topic for another day.
Another topic. But you can see that Europe can't... European countries are more aggressive. I don't think South Africa is aggressive.
Hmm.
The United States isn't as aggressive. And in one of the results, in terms of the aggressiveness of pushing for work-life balance, and one result of this is the fact that in Germany and France, employees take almost all of their time off.
I would also take it if I was living in France, right, and exactly, Europe and wherever else.
In the United States, however, employees only use 73% of their available time off.
Yeah,
because they don't even get paid for it. That's why.
Yeah.
Lunchtime in Russia is about 2 hours.
Wow.
Standard.
Interesting.
Wow.
But apparently those people are hard workers.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine was in Russia last week, and she was telling me, she was like, what?
Going to Russia? Okay, never
girl.
Mind.
I'm going to Russia.
Okay. Sorry,
continue. You saw that. But yeah, so things like that. Because she said that they're such hard workers that the state has no issues with implementing the 2 hour minimum lunch break. Hours is an hour, but I mean, I think it's an hour's fair. Like, what are you going to do in 2 hours?
An hour is fair, and, right?
Yeah, there's the same thing that, like, one of my friends who stays in the Netherlands is saying that, you know what, we're very like efficient, so we only need to work from 8 to 5, you know, it's not like, and just have like an hour break. It's not like the Spanish that go to for like a siesta
the whole afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, then they have to wake up until 7 p.m. and stuff like that. So they say, like, apparently, like, some European countries, I think Russia is also one of them, they're very, in Germany and I think in Germany and the Netherlands, them are quite like very efficient, that they get like a lot of things done, so that don't really work overtime, and then that's why they get a lot of like work-life balance and, you know, and like family time to squeeze in and stuff, especially during the summer. So they leave Wallace, it's quite early, to like almost have a full day.
That's interesting. So it's funny because when you bring it back home, only 37%, according to research, only 37% of South African companies actually encourage work-life balance.
I think it will come up a bit more now that we're talking fourth industrial revolution, and we're talking flexible working arrangements, we're talking agility and all of that. I think it will come up a bit more.
I think it's the whole thing of it being almost regulated in different industries. I think like in different industries would be, I think different industries will need to be regulated better. I mean, like, more than the other industries. For example, like, I don't know, I keep on talking about advertising because I'm very familiar with advertising.
It's what you know.
I feel like advertising, there's zero work-life balance. It also, like, shows that how they hire people. If you're in advertising, if you don't have a child, and
there you
are single, you're more likely to get a job.
Thank you.
If you have a child.
I guess some industry are discriminating,
you know,
like that.
Yeah, actually, you're right. They want to know if a client says, I want this done by tomorrow morning, if they've just briefed it in at 6 p.m.,
but
you'll get it done.
You know what? There's a lot of that that goes around. And thank you for raising it, because it's actually part of my next point, is that sometimes there's a level of discrimination. It's unwritten. And I know it's not something that necessarily is out there. But some people miss out on jobs because of the family structure. Yeah. So it's either you don't have a child, or okay, cool, so you're great. You'll be able to work however many hours. And you expect it because you don't necessarily have a child to go pick up at.
How do they even find out whether you have a child or not?
Look, these things do come out.
They can't ask you that question in an interview.
FYI, there you go.
No, guys.
Trust me. But they do.
But you know what? The reality is, in a lot of interviews, you know, you get asked, it makes you feel like a safe space.
Yeah.
So then they ask you things like, oh, are you married? Oh, do you have kids? Oh, no, I don't have kids. Oh, she's perfect. Do you have a car?
Do you have a car?
So the car thing,
what do you you leave.
The car, the like, car thing, yes, if the nature of the job requires. But guys, there are questions that are prohibited. We have to talk about interviews in one of these sessions.
We definitely will.
That they cannot ask.
Because I feel like, I feel like single people sometimes struggle with work-life balance. As funny, as weird as it sounds, because it would be harder, or it's assumed that people with kids and husbands and wives are the ones that, you know.
I mean, I know women who would say, no, I don't want to hire women. They always take off. And what if they fall pregnant? I'm like,
exactly.
Yes. That happens quite a lot, where women are even scared to fall pregnant. Like, okay, I don't want to lose my job. It shouldn't be like that. But then you've also got, you know, moms and pops that have to drop kids off and fetch kids from extramural activities and all of that stuff.
And it's part of life. It's like it's an everyday thing.
Yeah.
You know?
But I don't know. I know that we currently, South Africa comes out 7th in the list of the top 10 worst countries when it comes to work-life balance.
What?
So our businesses here don't necessarily support.
We are in the top 10.
Of the worst countries that support work-life balance. It is bad.
How do they find that? Oh no, that is bad.
And that's because a lot of remote working. So a lot,
It's not a big thing.
It's not a big thing yet. And I think that's one thing that we need to push.
We're getting there.
But if you are pushing the work-life balance thing, please let us know how you do it. How do you structure it? How would you advise someone else to do it, and if it's working for you, and does your job actually allow you to, you know, to push the whole work-life balance thing? And if it doesn't, how do you guys think that we could actually adjust it? I'm not working in HR necessarily, but I do think that it's quite a big thing, and it does make a difference. I mean, I feel so much better being able to go to gym in the morning. I feel fresher. I feel wide awake.
But I mean, a lot of companies now even have gyms at work, so people take time during working hours to go to gym and all of that. So, and I think it's just promoting. Like the other day, you were telling us about a wellness day that you had at work. So promoting that well-being. I don't know. I feel like.
And take your lunch.
Yeah, take your lunch. I'm very bad at that.
I'm bad as well. So I'm telling you guys, but I'm actually very bad at it. I just eat at my desk.
Yeah, me too.
And you shouldn't, actually.
I do that.
It's so funny because my boss asked me to stop doing it. Because they say that I'm one of those people, I come in, if I don't have a meeting, I don't leave my desk.
Definitely.
And then they're like, you need to actually like...
And I'm by the mall, but the thought of going to the mall is like, you know, and I don't want to spend money at the mall either.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway,
okay.
Work-life balance, guys, let us know. The hashtag is The Office Podcast, and let us know how you actually have created a work-life balance for yourself. And if you aren't, why are you struggling? Let us know, and let's chat about it. We can help you.
I think we actually might need to have like a second round of this discussion.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
With some of your thoughts too. Are you guys happy?
We are happy.
Well, okay.
And then
I'm thirsty.
We have work-life balance, so we're good.
Yeah.
Sometimes
it gets heavy, but yeah.
Yeah, true.
Are you thirsty?
Is it time for tea?
Put some tea.
Okay, let's have tea right after this. Welcome back. It's time now for Tea with Lightern.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tea Time. So, you know, this is like my favorite segment. And,
Exactly.
Well, we were boring you just now.
Yeah, I was like, you know, I need to
what's this work life? What?
First of all, I just want to do like a quick shout out to Strava. You know, he's like, I feel like I just discovered Strava. Yeah. I love him.
He's brilliant.
He is so brilliant. And he had,
I'm obsessed with Java.
So Java was a video for Omama on Colors TV, which is like a platform in the US that features a lot of indie and alternative and up and coming artists, like just to get into the studio with like a background of like of a color, which is them and just singing, and it's quite good because people that you never really know or people that you don't hear that much, but you might know, but don't hear that much. But anyways, he did this the performance of Umama, and it went really, really well. Like it was so amazing. And it's been trending on YouTube.
I just saw that
It's been trending on YouTube for almost a week now. Number one trending videos on YouTube. And
well done.
Amazing. It's so funny because I went to the comment section because I'm that person. went to the comment section, and you hear people like from Russia saying, I don't know what he's saying, but there's so much emotion that I'm crying. Yeah, and I'm like, you know, and that's what I love about music. It's like the universal language.
It really is. Like,
yeah, so bravo to that.
Well done, Java.
Javisto.
And we are Papa Naloyo. Yo.
You?
Okay. Don't feed him sideways.
No. We won't. But anyways, now into the tea.
What?
Okay, let's start. Okay, I'll start with Robin Marawan. I know you guys know Ogoti, of last week, I think it was Friday, Robert got dismissed from his job at SuperSport.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And apparently, well, he went on Twitter and he said that he was sent a text and told not to come into work, right? And so we don't know, at that point, we didn't know what was happening, but it seems like there's a bigger story to it. And from what it sounds like, allegedly, I have to say this because I don't know the legalities for now. You know, now that we are like a big famous podcast, we don't want people So allegedly, Robert was fired basically for sticking up to a lady at work, Omaputi, who was being sexually harassed by one of like the top colleagues at SuperSport. So my thing is that like he hasn't spoken out on the detail. He just said that the truth will come out, and it's been very vague, but he has alluded to the fact that there's a bigger story behind the whole firing. And then meanwhile, like the developments now is that Omaputi has run off to Limpopo because she's been fearing for, you know, her safety.
Can you say the name? Who said the name?
Well, it's the name is in the news.
Oh, is it in the news?
Yeah. Oh, she's been tweeting.
It's the News 24, like, and she's been tweeting.
She's been tweeting.
So
she's saying it's happening.
Yeah,
it happened.
Yeah, she did. She did say that it's happening, and she said that they're being they're painting her as a loose cannon, as a person that she actually is not, so that they can protect the perpetrator.
Oh,
and
gosh.
which is quite bad.
That is so messy.
Yeah, that is so
and
messy.
And SuperSport has not commented.
No, they have commented. They said with regards to, I haven't seen any comments with regards to the allegations. But to Robert's contract, they just say that they were changing their lineup, and they told him last week.
They're refreshing their lineup.
Yeah, they're refreshing the lineup. And I think that's the thing with, I suppose, with entertainment, TV presenters, and entertainment industry, sorry, is that it's because it's contractual work. So it's, you know, if the contract's almost about up, they can actually pay you for not even doing the job. Just to, you know.
Geez, is that how the contracts work?
Yeah, sometimes like if they want you out, they'll pay you for how many months you have left,
and then you can leave early.
So you probably can't even, defend yourself.
You can't even fight that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we're gonna pay you up until the end of your contract, but you can go now.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
You know what? And if what is being said is what is really happening, whatever, I'm proud of Rob.
Yeah, me too.
I saw a lot of people on some. Oh, Rob thinks he's invincible, or Rob thinks, but
always,
you know,
when
but the reality is, in you know, we want the working world to change, and we don't have people to lead the conversations and to lead the fight.
Yeah.
You know, when Mama Winnie died, especially, that got me reflecting a lot, because everyone was wearing dukes and wearing black, and Mama, you know, the spirit of Mama Winnie, but then we go back into our workspaces and we don't even fight for what's right. We don't even speak out because truthfully, everyone's kind of looking out for their paycheck. Mm.
So everyone's like,
you know, so we don't know. Where do we stand? Do we fight, or do we look out for your paycheck?
And that's what I was about to get into. Like, at what stage do you interfere at work when you see something highly inappropriate happening?
It's
quite a tough one, because you also cannot not say anything. I think especially if it's something
your
like that.
Yeah.
I think it depends what it is. There's some things that you're like, oh, let me not get involved. But I think it's like things like that, you know, when somebody's being targeted and harassed, and you know, and
all that.
That is horrible. And I think like, you know, everyone should applaud him for like.
Yeah, and it's not the first time the organization has the sort of story coming out about them. So it's not the first time.
But that's quite interesting. I think like, there's a lot of people like in different industries and different organizations that get away with abusing a lot of like young
women
and impressionable,
because we're desperate.
Men and women.
I wonder why would they protect someone who's done something like that? Because I mean, sexual harassment at work, you as an employer are obligated to make sure that as an employee, I am safe in that environment.
Exactly. Mm.
So what reason would they have to protect a perpetrator like that? Because that's someone who could get them as a company into trouble.
It's possible that they just, at that point, they were thinking that they're protecting the brand.
The brand and the interest.
Come
yeah.
on now.
Especially if like somebody is...
But now look at what's happening.
Exactly. Well. Especially if like it's like a... contractual worker, you're almost like in my way of like thinking about it, I think they'll probably think like, oh, it's like she was just gonna leave.
Nah. But also with a lot of sexual abuse, sometimes it's a little bit hard to prove.
Yeah.
Because it might have been something that has happened over time, and therefore you didn't necessarily go and get a rape kit, and you can't say. Yeah. So you know. It's probably,
but is it actually rape?
No, not necessarily.
Oh. But I mean,
sexual harassment.
Or. Yeah. Okay. But there was, I think, because she's quite traumatized, and she. Yeah. I was reading her tweets, and it was like, damn. I think it's.
She had a nervous breakdown.
Oh, no.
That bad. Yeah. You know, so in cases where you can't prove, obviously it's your word against
the
other person's, and then it's just like, who will believe you? So the perpetrator will then obviously paint you in a specific way to say, well, you're actually quite a loose cannon, and you came onto me. Yeah. And because everyone's trying to protect themselves, right?
Yeah. So. Especially, like, I think that's when, you know, like when we're having, I don't know if we've had that conversation on air, but like when we're having a conversation around, you know, a relationship with the bosses, it's like, you know, sometimes where is the gray line? Because if he might say that, you know what, if he is in a higher position than she is, like, well, she was trying to advance her career and stuff like that. So, you know, it doesn't make it any right. But then it becomes like, oh, well, like, did it really happen that way? Or is she bitter?
Yeah.
You know, it becomes a lot of he say, she say, which really doesn't help. But just final question on this story. Is there a way that you can react, the way that you can actually... assist somebody at work who's going through like a hard time, might be like a racial thing, a sexual abuse thing, or whatever it is, without jeopardizing your own career or job?
Yes, this should be. What I don't understand is why I really don't get, because really they should, the employer, as whoever the employer is, should be the one protecting this person.
Exactly.
And you shouldn't now get into trouble for you getting them to enforce you know, what they should be doing in the first place.
It's sad because a lot of people actually feel like human resources is not supportive of the employees, and it's more supportive and taking care of the company and looking out for the interests of the company. So people don't always feel, unless they have an ally in that department.
Like,
so it's
human resources, people blame it a lot, but I feel like human resources also have bosses. So if you feel like they're not doing what they should be doing, then go to the big boss. Yeah. They go to the CEO, who has more power than them, actually. So there's never an excuse to say, ah, no, I'm gonna sit because
I don't know if you guys ever watched Unmarried. It was
I did.
So I don't know if you remember one of the incidents where you know, lady was sexually harassed by her boss as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And then another lady came out and she was like, oh my gosh, my boss just tried to rape me or sleep with me. And then the other lady was like, oh my gosh, he did the same thing to me before as well when I wanted a promotion or something like that, and then he didn't give it to me because I didn't go out for dinner with him. She then took it upon herself to say, okay, cool, I'm going to stand up for us and I'm going to fight for all the women that have been possibly been abused by this guy. And she lost her job in the end, because the other woman who initially
came up,
she
exactly.
So and then if you don't have the support, what's the point?
And it's what Robin Mara was saying, that there's going to be more talk and like more, well, I suppose like more details of the story is going to be revealed when the lady in question actually decides what she's going to do, and she's willing to come forward with like literally details the whole thing. But well, good luck to her. I think we're still like going to learn a lesson out of this. I don't know what the lesson is for now, but I think we'll like monitor the story as we go along. And good luck to her, and good luck to Robert. Hopefully we'll see him soon. I think he should actually like open his own like sports
thingy. Must just maybe just open his own podcast,
because he's actually good at that
podcast. He is on radio. I think on radio he is on radio 2000.
Yeah,
or it's just a TV.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And people love Rob, hey?
Yeah, they do.
Sports guys love
I guess
him.
When you're good, you're good.
When you're good, you're good. Okay, speaking from another sexual stuff to another sexual harassment.
Did
you guys see the Virgin Active saga?
I saw that.
Okay, guys, like, I am so annoyed.
Disgusting.
I am pissed off. Let me tell you why I'm pissed off.
I don't want to watch that.
Okay,
I watched it,
but then you don't want to watch it. But let me tell you something, right? So, a quick background, if you haven't known and if you don't know, you need need to read the news. But
what happens?
But what happens is there's a young guy who was caught red-handed, no pun intended, pleasuring himself while recording a young lady doing squats at Stellenbosch Virgin Active, right? So the thing, he was literally like by the, you know, everyone who's been to Virgin Active knows the routine. Like when you're by the Met area where you do the circuits, literally everyone who's on the treadmill is either facing you or anyone on the bikes is facing you. So for you to sit there and like wank to somebody,
I mean,
and like
you
actually had the nerve to record while you're
in the middle,
in the middle during the people, I don't know. But anyway, so he has been since banned for life by Virgin Active. But you know what I hate is that like there's a lot of like misogynistic things that I saw online, people saying like, well, at least he didn't rape her, because you know, like, it could have been worse.
The nonsense,
like, are you serious? It's so depressing.
And the fact that all he got was a ban.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that like, is there no law against someone doing some crazy stuff like that?
There is public indecency.
There's public indecency.
So he was not even charged.
Exactly. Mm. I think that he needs to be charged. There needs to be a harsher case brought against this guy. And also, what I hated after that, the publications are blurring his face.
Well, we
but
know where
then,
that's
you know,
happening.
They are blurring his face, and of course, blurring, you know, like his hands, which again, but they're not blurring the lady.
What? Like,
yes.
That is so messed
up. That is so messed up. I was like, it looks like she's still doing, like she's mid squat, like when it's a still, and then but they're blurring his face, and I was just like, it's so disgusting. I was really upset by that.
I'm
but
sure it's men who are doing
exactly.
I can't imagine a woman blurring this guy. And
exactly,
woman
it's
outfit.
Like that that those men in the US with the abortion thing. But anyways, another thing. But anyway, to wrap this up,
keep
guys,
your hands. Okay, no, I can't keep your hands to yourself.
Okay, girl.
Exactly. But guys, like, just to wrap this up, is there? Do you know if there's a sex offenders list in South Africa?
I think there was. I feel like
you should be put on a sex offenders list. Yeah.
I think you
have to be found guilty of something to be put there. So this one hasn't been found guilty of anything
because it hasn't even been charged. It seems
you can't just be put on their list without being found guilty in court.
Does anyone need to be found guilty when we know that he was doing what he was doing?
I think it's only fair. Yeah, because you could also be falsely accused, and then you go and listen. Now you can't find work, you can't do this, because there's also the other side of false accusations.
Exactly, yeah.
So if you found guilty, then we can say, well, the law found you guilty. There's that. You're an offender, and you shouldn't be. But that was disgusting.
That was disgusting.
I felt so,
I'm like, oh, good Lord.
I felt so violated,
you know,
and I wasn't even there.
It was very violating, and it's so sad how, you know, I feel like guys as women, you go through a lot every day. I'm just like, you know, it's too much.
Just, you're busy at gym, and the person is busy.
Right? And you know, it's so weird.
Disgusting.
And that is why so many women actually don't even want to go to gym, because they're scared that someone is. Because guys, the reality is, when you go to gym, we in tights and whatever. I'm not gonna now wear baggy tracksuit pants because you can't control yourself and
looking,
you know. And I actually
looking.
Had a weird encounter this morning as well in gym with this guy. I'm walking into gym. He's walking out of gym into the lift. He stares, and I notice that he stares, but I don't look at him because I don't want to give him attention or give him the idea that I'm looking. I go into the ladies' bathroom to sort my life out, and then I'm going to go in and put my stuff away.
Yeah.
I come back, my guy's standing right next door by the guy's gym entrance.
Yeah.
I'm just like, my guy, you being a freak,
Yeah.
But I made sure that I just walked past and it was so fun.
Yeah,
but it felt a little bit freaky for me.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm going to keep monitoring the situation, because if it gets out of hand or he tries to, I'm just going
to
be like, no, my guy.
Yeah.
He needs
like,
to be dragged.
No. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
sorry,
guys. Ladies.
I think we don't have, the lesson is to guys, please be, like, man, please be decent.
Just behave,
in this
guys.
Yeah,
behave yourselves. Behave yourselves.
Self-control.
Yeah. Self-control, exactly.
Anyway, thank you so much, Lighten, for the tea. We really appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
So, guys, let us know your thoughts. What did you think of this Virgin Active pervert?
Yes, pervert.
Call him the perv. What's his name?
They haven't released his name.
They haven't released his name?
Oh.
We want to know.
We
should have released it when they told us what he's
saying.
Yeah, exactly.
And anyway, thank you so much, guys. We really appreciate you listening to us. We will be back again next week with the Office Podcast. Keep the conversation happening on social media, #TheOfficePodcast.
Yes.
Chat to you guys next week. Goodbye.
Bye guys.